Phil, it's a pleasure to meet with you. Thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Steve, so nice to meet you. I'm so thrilled to talk to you.
You know what? Honestly, I really enjoy 5 Pounds of Pressure. It really is a lot of fun with a lot of. I love a good gritty crime film, and this has all those elements. It's so much fun. Where did it come from?
I started writing it about over 15 years ago, believe it or not. I grew up in this kind of world with people and characters like this, you know. So I don't know. I think maybe it was cathartic, maybe trying to work things out for myself. I think I'm always interested in stories about make us think about what it is to be human, you know, and people in these kind of moral conflicts and in the messy area where it's not just black and white issues, you know. I grew up around those kinds of things, and I think I'm still trying to figure and work them all out, you know, the emotions around them, the anger around them, the empathy, all those things. So I tried to write a story about it and tried to express those things in this film.
You know, it, this is one of those films where everything is a shade of gray, shall we say? You know, the you've and there's such great characters, and performances. I wanted to ask you specifically though about Luke, because this is such a different role for what we've seen him oftentimes in the past. How did you know Luke was your Adam?
Well, I mean, he's an amazing actor. I remember seeing him do different roles and different dialects of New York, and the kind of precision and the attention to detail, I just knew he would be great. Didn't even think I had no delusions about getting him, but you try, you reach high. And was thrilled to find out that he responded to it. I mean, that says a lot about him that he was interested in doing a film like this and a character like this. Like you said, he's done so many other things and he's worked on very big films with the biggest directors, the biggest productions. And here he is working with a very inexperienced director compared to the people he's used to working with on a smaller film and giving it his all and giving us an amazing performance and really wanting to connect and tell the Adam story, which I just think it says more about him than me or the film.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things and that comes out in this film too, we talk about the characters. You've talked a little bit about the shades of gray and whatnot, moral ambiguity, but New York itself is feels like a character in this film. And I was wondering from your perspective, was there a certain aspect, like you said, you grew up around in this sort of world. Is there an aspect of New York that you really wanted to delve into?
And I think this is maybe true of all of other inner cities as well in the US is that my experience of it was like it's like people who you're living between the cracks of society, right? Everything around you is broken. You don't own anything. The streets are not yours. Your block is not yours. You don't have that kind of pride. Like if you're a homeowner, you have pride in your block and it's yours. In the world I grew up, you don't own those streets, they're not yours. And whose are they, right? And nothing works. You don't trust the systems. You don't even know about the social systems that may be there to help you. You don't trust your police. You don't think they're there for you, right? And there's a lot of this kind of toxic masculinity of posturing and what you feel like you are responsible for. You have ownership, like this is my turf or my ego or I need to do something, or I have to take things in my own hand and in my own hands. And I think it's that kind of mentality that creates these cycles that's in the film is telling this kind of, because it's like there's nothing new about the kinds of things that happen and the kind of, and even though you see over and over again, we see movies about them, there's news about it, and we're still see it over and over again. And I think in my world, and when I grew up, it just was a never-ending cycle because of it's not like you evolve. It's people are either trying to get out or escape that situation, but they're struggling to survive in a city where it feels like it's all broken and not working for them, you know?
And I'm glad you used that term cycle, because that's what this feels like. It feels like you've got a number of people trying to break a cycle. Whether it's, whether it's Adam himself, or Kieran's character as well. We've got these characters that seem really stuck. And even the film's finale, he says, if I have it correct, he says that when something as powerful as a gun finds its ways in the hand of the powerless, violence is inevitable. Inevitable is such an incredible term there. What do you think it takes to break that cycle? What does it really take to escape?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's what I struggle with. And I think for me, having empathy and understanding that, not vilifying people who do certain things, because it's easy to say, well, they're different and I'm different than me. But when we start to see that we're all connected and we're all capable of great things, but also bad things, and we realize our own humility, and we realize that it could be any one of us in bad situations. Not saying we'd all make these same
No.
choices. I'm not saying that. And I'm not excusing bad, horrible behavior in any
For sure.
way. But I think it starts with understanding it. How do you can't fix a problem you don't understand, and you can't understand something without empathy, I think.
That's a great point. And I think, one of the things we see here is people looking for second chances. And actually this is sort of a difficult question to answer. Forgive me if that's the case, but I'm wondering what do you think it takes to prove that you can change, and if and does everyone deserve that second chance in your opinion?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if you can overcome, and I don't know if you should. Look, we all do things, big and small, that create consequences that we all have to live with. And I think that's why it's important to be aware of that, you know, to live our lives with some sort of respect or integrity, and for people around us, because you ultimately have to live with the choices you made. And even if society or whatever gives someone a second chance, that doesn't mean you give yourself a second chance, you know? And then there's other people, they can have all the chances in the world and they keep giving themselves, you know, letting themselves off the hook or whatever, and take no responsibility for anything. So, being human is a very complicated thing for all of us. And I think it's fascinating to tell stories, or to talk about stories and show stories that talk about those moral ambiguities, or talk about those things. I just find them so interesting and exciting. That's what attracts me to a story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when thinking about thinking along these lines too, you mentioned before about toxic masculinity. This is a film that deals with a complex relationship with our fathers. And one of the things I love, Adam, at one point when he talks about how there was a young man, I want to make sure I get the quote right, a young man who was drawing a picture of his, or picked his father over superheroes when he was a kid. Which is such a complex idea. We have such complex relationships with our fathers, I really think, and especially in a world like this. Can you talk about that? The relationship between fathers and sons, and the challenges that come within it.
Well, I think that really goes into Donna's fear too, right? Because one of Donna's biggest fears, and protecting her son Jimmy, is what is it going to do to her son when he finds out that his father has murdered someone? What does that do to his psyche? You know, what does that make him think he's capable of or destined to be? Or, you know, does he inherit his father's sins, so to speak? And a lot of ways, one of the first things that we model ourselves on is we look to our parents. You know, who are they to tell me who I am? Maybe that's the first thing we start doing before maybe we dig deeper into what it means to be who we are, right? So I think she's really in touch with that fear of trying to protect him from that information, knowing he's impressionable, and what could that mean? Does he romanticize it? Does he then think it's cool? Is he, you know, or does he think he's damaged because of it? What does that information do? And I think, you know, Adam is not even looking at that. He's just thinking, I just want to see my kid. He's not looking at the boundaries. He's pushing past her boundaries and crashing into her world without even, you know, a lot of the toxic masculinity we think about, you know, with maybe the guns or the posturing or the tough guy stuff. But even here's a guy with thinking he's doing good and he's plowing right into her world, you know? So there's a lot of things we, our actions do that we're unaware of. And I like playing with that in the film of, you know, these characters. Adam is not, he's thinking, well, what's more innocent than just wanting to see my kid and not thinking about the consequences that that will cause, as he sets the whole thing in motion, the whole film in motion by going back to this world, you know? You know, and I like these character struggle. I love, you know, Rory, who plays Mike, Rory Culkin. I love his performance. I love how uncomfortable he is throughout the whole film, how he's trying to be in this role and Lef's trying to be, you know, that tough love, but it's not him, you know, and he's completely lost. But, you know, everyone is trying to get out and find a place to exist and, you know, in this struggle, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And apologies. Yes, of course, Rory. I think I said Kieran before, but yes, Rory does such a great job in this. You know, in some ways, he and Adam are sort of mirror each other, but they're on opposite sides of the wall in some of the
Yeah.
ways. It's interesting to
Yeah.
see.
And I think an innocent, you know, he's been sheltered in a weird way in such a harsh role. And I think Lef, Alex, who I think Alex Pettifer plays Lef so brilliantly, and he's throwing him in, you know, he's trying to toughen him up because he sees nothing but danger for this sheltered. He doesn't pay his rent, and then he has these ideas that he's gonna be, you know, some kind of rock star or something. Meanwhile, we don't see him have any of the things that it takes to really pursue that, where someone would take you seriously, right? You know, maybe Lef is right. You know, I like the kind of like, you know, the gray area everybody's falling in. You know, nobody's totally wrong or totally right on their perspective of things, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Honestly, the film is so much fun. The performances are great, and Phil, I really appreciate the chance to chat with you about it. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, thank you so much. It was so great to talk to you. And thank you for such insightful questions about it. I love talking about it. And it was great meeting you.
Absolutely. It was great meeting you too. Thank you. And have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
Thanks.